Hi, I'm Vernon Trolliger for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Jeffrey J. Walline, OD, PhD, Associate Dean for Research at The Ohio State University College of Optometry. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in rural Colorado. A town in the northeastern corner of Colorado has about 1,200 people. There were 33 people in my high school class. My dad was a farmer. My mom was a secretary/housewife. It was a great place to grow up, but I don't think it's where I want to live for the rest of my life.
What did your father grow?
He was a dryland wheat farmer.
Did you have any animals?
We had a few animals. I will admit that I was not the best farm child. As a matter of fact, I've never driven the tractor. I pretty much avoided that as much as possible and really grew up knowing that I wanted to go to California to college.
Why California?
Because it was California.
California, of course. Why do I even ask?
My plan was actually to go to UCLA and play basketball, but that was something that I realized while growing up that was never going to happen. But it did take a little bit of education along the way before I kind of figured out that I did not have the ability by any way, shape, or means.
So what attracted you to academia, not private practice or industry?
I went to optometry school thinking that I was going to open up a pediatric practice because in undergrad, I actually worked in a daycare center for 2.5 to 5-year-olds, and it was one of the best jobs I'll ever have. But that would not have been a good practice plan because I would have examined all, say, 100 kids in the area within a couple of weeks, and I would have had nothing to do for the rest of the year. So it was actually pretty early in optometry school that I did a program funded by the National Institutes of Health called a T35 program, and it just sort of introduces students to research. And I fell in love with what I was doing and knew pretty much during my second year of optometry school that I wanted to go to graduate school and become an academic as opposed to a clinician.
So why contact lenses?
I would say contact lenses interest me the most because it's something that we as optometrists can not only diagnose the issues associated with it, but we can treat them. And for me, contact lenses are ultimately important because I don't like wearing glasses. So I want other people to have that same opportunity. And it just so happens that some of the side effects we get from contact lenses may also keep us from becoming nearsighted, which is my other interest. So, you know, it all sort of goes hand in hand. I get the pediatrics, I get the optometric care that I want, and I try to keep people from becoming as nearsighted as they would have otherwise, all in one sort of fell swoop.
Now, you mentioned your experience in the daycare. So why pediatric vision and myopia?
I think I am interested in pediatric myopia probably because I am a myope, but mostly because I get to work with kids, and I find that really rewarding. My PhD project was actually also myopia control, but with alignment fit gas permeable contact lenses. And as I went through my graduate career, I always worried that I would never find a more interesting question to try and answer than that. Of course, I did find lots of very interesting questions that I'm very excited about. But, to me, it was just sort of the perfect thing. I got to watch these kids grow up. I don't actually have kids of my own, so this is how I sort of get to interact with kids and have a lot of fun while doing work.
Now, I was interviewing another optometrist a little while ago who also works with kids, and she mentioned having a bag of tricks when you work with a kid, like making balloon animals or puppets. Do you have any?
Well, I wouldn't say that I have any specific tricks, but I do agree that you have to be very adjustable when working with children because every child is completely different and you don't know when they might melt down at any given time. I would say my trick is just making them think that they're having fun. So I am always joking with them. I'm always keeping them engaged. I don't necessarily tell them what's coming. I just do it and try to keep them from becoming anxious. So everybody has a different way of dealing with children, and mine works for me. It wouldn't work for everybody because a lot of people like to use a lot more empathy and have a lot more education with the children. I like to just let them have fun and, and experience what we can and get as much information from them as we can while they think they're having fun.
On the other hand, what's the worst thing that happened while a child was in the chair?
I think the worst thing that has happened while a child was in the chair was when I was trying to get their attention on just a target for them to look at so that I could look at their eyes closely, but they just wouldn't focus on that particular target. Pretty soon they said, you know, I don't feel very well. And I said, oh, you're okay. This will take just a few minutes. You
you
can get through this. And within the next 5 seconds, they threw up all over me,
oh,
including
geez.
In my mouth.
Oh. Kind of hard to recover from that and get
extremely
back to
work. Hard. Yeah.
Wow.
It was go wipe off what you can and keep on working.
Oh, man. Hell, I asked for a horror story. I got one. Whoa. What do you think is the future of myopia control?
I don't know what the future of myopia control actually is, but the good news is there's lots of options that are available to us today. So, you know, we're using soft multifocal contact lenses, corneal reshaping contact lenses, and low concentration atropine. And so far, these are beneficial. What I hope it actually gets to at some point is that we can prevent the onset of myopia. That would ultimately help keep the, you know, possible side effects of myopia from happening, make people much happier. I realize that that will put optometry out of business by and large, but it's a great goal for us to shoot for. Do I ever think we'll get there? Probably not, but it's something that we ought to try to attain if we want to treat our patients the best way we possibly can.
What excites you about research?
I would say finding out the answers before we really know what the answers are is very exciting. My research is something that I hope people can read one day and put into practice the next, so it's very clinically applicable. So I hope it actually improves the care of patients on a regular basis, and I hope that doctors see the research and on the very next patient they examine that meets the criteria, they put it into practice. Because it should be stuff that's available to them at that particular time. You know, I like traveling around the world, talking to people about the different aspects of research that we do. I like being able to improve the care of children by helping people realize that children are capable of independent contact lens wear. To me, it's about finding the answers and educating optometrists.
So what's something your colleagues don't know about you?
Most colleagues who looked at me would never guess that I actually teach spin classes a couple of times a week. I don't look like that fit athlete, but I do enjoy teaching spin classes very much. And basically the reason I teach spin classes is because I wanted to be able to play my own music as opposed to listening to somebody else's. So for me, that's the main motivation, but also I get to be a little bit more healthy that way.
A spin class, what is that?
A stationary bike.
Oh, okay.
But you do different movements, so you stand in different positions, and you do this to music. So it's a class, you know, that's set for anywhere from 2 people to 30 people, and you all spin together, changing up resistance, changing up speeds, changing up positions, and I try to set it to music as much as I can.
What kind of music? What are your motivating tunes, as it were?
Well, I'll tell you that people can generally tell when I graduated from high school based on my music alone. So there's a lot of 80s music, but I'm an alternative type music person. So what most spin teachers do is electronica and dance and some hip hop. I don't do very much of any of those, but I would say people would say it's pretty eclectic, but primarily geared toward 80s and alternative.
So what's something you would change about optometry as it stands now?
The main thing I think I would change about optometry is unify the forces. So we seem to really fractionate and think that we can sort of separate into about 100 different groups which compete with each other, whereas I wish we could all come together and work as a unit because we'd be a much stronger force if we would do so.
Now, I usually ask people what their guilty pleasure food is, but I did some research on you. So what's so
you know
great about
In-N-Out
Burger?
It is the perfect hamburger.
How?
It's
How can that be
fresh.
possible?
It is just fresh, plain and simple. There's just no better burger than that. But I like the simplicity of In-N-Out Burger. Yeah, I'll admit I don't love their fries, but they have some of the best Diet Coke around, and their burgers are perfect. And I used to like knowing the secret menu, but it's not so secret anymore since it's on the internet. To me, it's just heaven.
Now, do they have those in Ohio, or are they just, that's
They do not.
so you have to fly to California to get one.
Yes, and believe me, I've taken $80 cab rides to get to In-N-Out Burger. I've driven for 2 hours just for In-N-Out Burger before. I go to my family reunion primarily to get In-N-Out Burger, secondarily to see my family members. It's truly an obsession. And when I did come to graduate school, I actually tried to bring a franchise to Ohio, but it's family owned. They don't franchise, so I was not successful in that.
So you mentioned the secret menu. What's the secret of the secret menu?
There's a whole culture out there that you can order things off that aren't on the menu. It's basically all the same stuff, just packaged differently. So you can get a 4x4, which is four meat patties and four pieces of cheese. I've never done it. Hopefully never will. You can get a grilled cheese, which is a cheeseburger without the meat. You can get things animal style, which I should know what that is, but I don't. You can get chili fries. You can get your fries cooked twice, which makes them crispier. You can get all sorts of different things
All
there.
sorts of custom add-ons. Wow.
Yeah. And I get nervous ordering those things because I think they'll look at me like, what are you talking about? They always know.
If I ever get out that way, I'll definitely have to give it a try.
Absolutely. It's coming to Colorado, actually. There's going to be one about 2 miles from my brother's house, so I'll be going to visit him a lot more. So it's slowly working its way this direction.
So apart from not getting an In-N-Out Burger to open in Columbus, Ohio, do you have any regrets?
No. I think I live the perfect life. I really love what I do. I actually enjoy going to work thoroughly. Work has also gotten me a lot of opportunities that I wouldn't have had otherwise, traveling the world, for example. So I really don't have any regrets.
Okay, now for our last question, and we inflict this one on everybody. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
Probably jumping out of an airplane that was functioning completely. And I did it solely for the Christmas card. I wanted something on my Christmas card that was different, so I jumped out of an airplane.
Okay, that just
And
sounded very odd. I jumped out of an airplane for a Christmas card. Maybe you
yeah.
ought to start from the beginning.
And I'm terrified of heights. When you jump out of airplanes, quite often they have cameras that they send with you so that you'll spend a lot more money. And I went on a when I did go on a jump, I was by far the oldest person. It was all a bunch of teenagers. And so they knew I was the one with expendable cash. So not only did they have a still camera, but they had a video camera. So of course I purchased the video and the stills afterwards. And I knew going in advance that I was going to get one of those pictures and that I was going to put it on the Christmas card.
So you mentioned you're afraid of heights. What possessed you to go skydiving then?
It's all about the thrill, to be perfectly honest. When I'm afraid of heights, but I like looking over the edge. Now I'm terrified to do so. My heart races, but it's that feeling that I really enjoy. I am very glad that I skydived once, but that satisfied my curiosity. I probably will never do it again. I got the picture.
What are you going to do next for a Christmas card picture? Haven't you gotten
Oh,
that
you'll
far
have to
yet?
wait and see.
Jeffrey, it's been fun talking with you this morning. I'm glad you're able to make time for me.
I appreciate it. I like the work that you do, so thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.